to share a little bit of testimony, actually. I've been on a prayer and fasting retreat for the last, well, Wednesday, Thursday and Friday.
Feed me.
But with Che and Joy, and they've been ministering, and it's been absolutely, it was such a fantastic time for me, and I got so much from Che speaking, and Joy prophesied over me, and it really released a spirit of heaviness that actually I was under at the time. And I went carrying my expectations to that conference, what God wanted me to do, what I wanted God to do, and but above that I went to meet with God. And he really honoured me in that, and he did so much more than I could have ever have expected, than I could ever have asked. And he showed me things in my life that needed dealing with that I didn't even know were there. And this morning lives are going to change. I believe that because God is here, and that Che's here is fantastic, and he's going to be a real blessing to us. And so Che, if you'd like to come up, we're going to pray for you before you speak to us. Okay, if you'd like to stretch your hands out towards Che, everyone, and pray out in the Spirit. Lord Jesus, we just want to release Che, Lord Jesus, to speak this morning, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would fill him with your Spirit. Give him your word for us, Lord Jesus. Help him to communicate and to feel at home, Lord. And for us, Lord Jesus, we pray that we would have open hearts to receive your word to us this morning, Lord Jesus. To receive your Spirit, Lord. And when it's time to respond, Lord Jesus, to take a risk if that's what you require us to do, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus.
Thank you so much. Be blessed. Thank you so much. Bless you. Well, thank you. It's such an honor to be back. I was with you in May for those who are at the healing service, and it's amazing. I've already had several people come up to me, one at the retreat, and just a dear sister just shared with me how she got healed at the May healing conference, and I'm just so excited about the open heaven I'm experiencing here in your fellowship. God is really doing something wonderful. And you could smell revival in the air. You really can. And I don't say that as just hype or just to encourage you for the sake of encouragement. But you really sense that the Holy Spirit is on the move. And I want to just thank Chris and Judith. They truly are like family. It's amazing how God supernaturally, sovereignly knit our hearts together. The first time I met the Forrester family was in 1986. I was on my way back from Amsterdam at the Billy Graham training for evangelism. And Roger heard about me through Eddie Gibbs, who was one of my professors at Fuller Seminary. And Roger, God bless him, he didn't know me from Adam, but he had me share at the corporate gathering. They had a monthly gathering at Edfu's, and that night I spoke, and we became fast friends. And so in many ways, Roger has become like a spiritual father to me. Roger and Faith have been spiritual parents, and we've been dear friends ever since. And it's amazing that I've stayed at their house. They're going to be coming over to California for a holiday, and they're going to be staying at our house because we'll be gone during that time. And we're so glad that there's this incredible connection happening with California and here in London, Maidenhead. But my daughter Joy had a word that she submitted to me. I really felt she is, I feel like Philip, because I have three daughters who are all prophetesses, they just prophesy. And then I have an amazing wife who has been a prophet to me for the 27 years we've been married, and I have a son who leads worship in a prophetic way as well. And I'm not prophetic at all. I'm more pathetic than I am prophetic. But anyway, but I want to have my daughter Joy come on up and just share what she was sensing from the Lord. And thank you so much again for welcoming us, and we feel really at home here.
Yes, thank you so much. Was it Tina? Yes, for leading us in worship. And what I was sensing was the Lord. I was just praying and worshiping, and the Lord gave me 2 Corinthians 3:17. And if you look in the Bible in the NIV translation, it was 2 Corinthians 3:17. I have it here. I'll read it. It says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is in the Spirit. And I was worshiping, and I felt that the worship was really touching, and lots of prophetic stuff going on. And I walked down the hall, and I think y'all had just let the children out. And I saw the children there. They were playing, I don't know if it was with a soccer ball or football, whatever you call it here. And it reminded me of when I was a child, and there was such freedom. And Uncle Chris was living at our house, there was lots of freedom there, to because he gave us lots of candy without Dad knowing. But there's a certain freedom that comes when you're a child, isn't there? And the verse says, "Who with unveiled faces," and there's being transformed into His glory. And part of that transformation comes when you become like a child, doesn't it? The Lord says that you must be like a little child to enter the kingdom of God. So I just want to release to you a rebirth, a renewal. This is the River Church. Some of you who may be scared, or in your natural minds, there might be some apprehension or fear holding you back. But I know that there's a freedom here today to bring transformation with that childlike spirit and that thinking of just letting go and letting Jesus work. So I bless you in this meeting. I know that the Holy Spirit's already here, and just be encouraged to know that, just to jump in the river. You guys are awesome. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. And I think what joy is sensing is that we are in a season of another wave of the Holy Spirit coming in. And each wind of revival, or a wave of a revival, or a season of revival, it looks different. And 94, when the Holy Spirit fell in Toronto, I mean, it was kind of bizarre. And a lot of people freaked out over it, and they just stood by the bank, so to speak, and just observed, but they didn't jump in. And there was a prophetic invitation for everyone in the body of Christ to jump in. Many of you did. But many of you missed that visitation. Well, there's another visitation coming, and the Lord's giving you a prophetic invitation. This time, even if it may look bizarre, you may not fully understand it, because a lot of times God is more concerned about your religious attitude than He is about any manifestation. Let me repeat that again. He's more concerned about the spirit of religion in your heart than He is about any kind of fleshly manifestation. Because in every revival, there's always the flesh and there's always the counterfeit. But what He's concerned about is you just jumping in and obeying the Holy Spirit. Because when you do, I tell you, you come into the favor of God. The key to success really, truly is not you doing your thing and asking the Holy Spirit to bless you, but find out what the Spirit of God's doing and you join Him. Because how many know the Holy Spirit is God? And how many know the Holy Spirit is always going to be successful? And the way that you're going to succeed is by passionately pursuing what the Spirit of God's doing. That's why Moses said, "Lord, unless Your presence goes with us, we can go no further." And then he goes on to say, "Show me Your glory. I want even more. I'm not content with what I have." I want to just give a prophetic word. There's this young lady right over here. Could you stand up? What's your name, sweetheart? Katie. Katie, how old are you? 15. I just felt like there's this revival anointing upon you for your generation, that you're going to be a catalyst for a major move of the Holy Spirit that's going to sweep your generation, but especially those who are a little bit younger than you, and that you're going to be a leader in that generation. The Lord is putting this kind of a anointing on you. It's a mixture of like a Catherine Booth and Amy Simpson McPherson. You're going to start moving in signs and wonders. God's going to give you prophetic words, even in the streets of and in your school. You're going to have words for people, and as you give words out, it's going to just shift things. And there's a generational anointing upon you. I see like three generations of godliness coming upon you, and yet there will always be a testing period where the enemy is going to try to steal, and he's a thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so when that happens, just know that you got to keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. And as you do that, He's going to raise up you as a prophetic prototype of the last days army of the saints, where He's raising up what I would call Joel's army to bring about really ushering in the greatest move of the Holy Spirit. So let's give a hand for Katie, part of this awesome generation. Does that make sense? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
And I have a word for Chris later on and Judith, but I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, I feel that this is the word of the Lord. We're in a time, and the message would be times of refreshing and times of restoration. Times of refreshing, times of restoration. And we find really three key words, repent, refreshing, and restoration in this passage in verse 19. As Peter is preaching in verse 19, it says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. The times of refreshing may come from the Lord. And it is so crucial that the Lord is always calling us, in order for us to see a revival, there has to be repentance. There's never been historic revival without returning to God. 2 Chronicles 7:14, most of you have it memorized. If my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. And so there's always been, and so we shouldn't be afraid of the word repent. Because if there's been any maturity in your life, any growth, is because of repentance. First of all, you repented to get saved, right? And then as far as even sanctification and growing with the Lord perpetually, He's at work within us, both to want to work for His good pleasure, will put His finger on certain areas in our lives. And then all of a sudden, you know, He calls you to a higher level. And I'll never forget when 1992, and I share this in my book. I brought a number of books with me, and in my book Into the Fire, I share how my wife and I had our biggest fight. But I'm not talking about leading to divorce. Murder, yes, but not divorce, okay? But in 1992, we had the worst fight, and it happened in the kitchen. It was vivid. First time my wife physically abused me, she pinched me, and man, did that hurt. She attacked me and pinched me. This is the truth, I'm sorry. But I said something dumb to her. I said, how could God make you so beautiful and stupid at the same time? And she said, well, God made me beautiful so you'll marry me, and He made me stupid so I end up marrying you, and that's how the fight began. And so the Lord began to deal with me of issues, and I share, and I thank God for the river. The reason why I love the river so much, and I'm talking about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, because it was in 1994, because we had this, it wasn't like we were talking about divorce or anything like that, but we were just plateauing in our relationship. We were just drifting in our marriage. And then on the floor of Toronto in October, He began to show me root issues, things that I had to repent of. And when I repented of it, God restored our marriage. And truly, our marriage has been like heaven on earth. And that's not an exaggeration. You could ask my daughter how our relationship has been. It's been a major shift that's taking place. And that's why I thank God for the outpouring, because truly, it's an outpouring of grace. And so He says, repent. The times of refreshing may come from the Lord. And some of you, the Lord is calling you to fresh repentance. It's interesting that it says in Acts 5, I believe 32, it says the Holy Spirit is given to those who obey Him. If you want more of the Holy Spirit, if you want revival, if you want times of refreshing, there has to be radical obedience. You have to come back to the Lord. And I feel like the Lord is saying, some of you, and I have a word of knowledge, some of you are fighting depression. Some of it may be clinical, some of it may be physiological, you need more serotonin. Some of it may be even a generational thing. But some of you are fighting depression because you've wandered away from God's Word and His way, and you're under condemnation and that guilt. See, the Bible says the way of a transgressor is hard. I tell you, there's nothing more freeing than to walk with a clear conscience and have joy. By the grace of God, I can stand before you that I just have a clear conscience. I'm right with God. I'm right with others. And there's freedom in that. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. But that comes when we're right with Him and right with others. And some of you are saying, why is this cloud over me? Because you've been transgressing His Word. And if you would repent and make a quality decision, do yourself a favor, make a quality decision and turn from the selfishness, turn from the disobedience, then God says times of refreshing will come. And who doesn't want the times of refreshing? That word, refresh, to revive, it's like refreshing rain. I'll never forget the time when we had 400,000 young people in the Call DC, and it was on September the 2nd, year 2000, and it was in sweltering summer weather in Washington, D.C. High humidity, temperature in the mid-90s, whatever that would be in your temperature, Celsius, but it was just unbelievably hot. And then around 3 o'clock, this incredible shower came upon the people. And it was great because it was so refreshing. The kids loved it. No one moved. No one, you know, ran for cover. They wanted the rain because it was so hot. And that's like a prophetic picture that God is saying, some of you are dry spiritually, and He wants to visit you for a time of refreshing, revival. But here's what the Word says here. The times of refreshing may come from the Lord. There's never been historic revival without repentance, turning from sin. And then He says this, and that He may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus, verse 21, He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything as He promised long ago through His holy prophets. Now, this is a major, major verse concerning the end times that a lot of people don't teach about. You know, when you talk about your eschatology or end time theology, this verse is not used often. Other verses are used. Like, for example, I was talking to your dad, Roger. His favorite verse is Matthew 24:14. That the gospel of the kingdom must be preached to all nations, and then the end will come. And that's my eschatology as well. In other words, Jesus is not going to come back until we preach the gospel to the 3 billion who have never even heard the gospel, including a billion Muslim. And yeah, the revival is breaking out in China, but there's still a billion that are lost. And the list goes on. And so we still have a job to do. But here's another verse, that Jesus will remain in heaven until God restores everything. What does that mean? The word restore is very interesting, because you have to realize in the early church, they did not have the New Testament. They understood restoration from an Old Testament perspective and concept. The Old Testament word for restore is the Hebrew word shalom, not shalom, but shalom. And in fact, the root word is the same as shalom. But it is peace through recovery of restitution. And so the best synonym is restitution. Then when something is restored back to you, but here's God's economy, and this is what I love. I want you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 22, because when God returns, here is His economy for when the thief comes and he steals, here's what the Lord requires. And I want you to receive this by faith, because many of you have been ripped off by the enemy. He has stolen from you. And God wants to restore to you. But look at the verse in Exodus chapter 22, verse 1. This is amazing. If a man steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters it or sells it, he must pay back 5 head of cattle for the ox and 4 sheep for the sheep. Isn't that wonderful? When God pays back, He doesn't just pay back a sheep for a sheep or an ox for an ox. He gives you back 5 times, 4 times, double. In Proverbs, it talks about 7 times returning. And so, you see, this is God's economy. Listen, when He restores all things and He restores His glory, how many of you know that it's not... We camped out on yesterday's manna, that we're actually going from glory to glory. We're going into even greater glory, greater miracles, greater signs and wonders. Because, you know, the enemy has robbed us of our inheritance of signs and wonders that we read about in the book of Acts and in the New Testament. Jesus Himself said, the works that I do, you will do even greater works than these will you do in My name. But we haven't seen it. Because the enemy has stolen that. And so when God says, I'm going to restore everything, we're talking about 4 times, 5 times what we read about in the book of Acts. Now that gets me excited, but it seems like you're kind of quiet this morning. I don't know, is it my accent or what? What's that? It's your Britishness. And so this thrills me. God's saying, listen, you haven't seen anything yet, because when I restore, I take you to a whole different level. Now, apply that personally. Some of you have had your inheritance ripped off by the devil. your health ripped off. Some of you have had things stolen from you, maybe a business that went bad, whatever. And God is saying we're in the period of restoration, and God's going to pay back double, 4 times, 5 times, 7 times what you've lost. Give Jesus a hand for that. I mean, if you're in faith for that, give Him a hand. So we're in the time of restoration, and we see that. We see how God has, when He restored. And so the enemy came in, like even in church history, to use this as an analogy, in church history, from 96 AD, when, according to historians, when the Apostle John wrote the book of Revelation, he says to the church of Ephesus, there's one thing I have against you. You've lost your first love. It's amazing. The early church, in the midst of revival, they start to decline. Even during the first century, they lose that edge by losing their intimacy. And as a result of that, we see the church going into mixture and compromise, and even compromising the Word of God. I mean, according to historians, the first infant baptism took place in 81-85. And then when Constantine became emperor in 313 AD, that's when he just declared the whole Roman Empire to be Christian, and all these pagans were baptized. They were not even born again. So that mixture came in, and then we go into what's called the Dark Ages. How many of you are glad that you're not born in the Dark Ages? You know, I mean, that was a terrible time, and there was just so much syncretism and mixture and idolatry taking place in the church, and then all these religious spirits came in, and then the 11th century, you know, and I shared a little bit about this, for example, where the church required pastors to make 3 vows. How many of you have heard of those vows? The vows of chastity, the vows of poverty, the vows of obedience. Now, it's one thing for one to make a choice to be single for the Lord between, you know, you and God. And I thought I was going to be single for the rest of my life. And that's cool. That's fine. But you can't mandate that. You can't legislate that for every single pastor. That's legalism. That's a religious spirit. And it's one thing for one to make a choice to live a simplified lifestyle, to give everything away, and to say, well, Lord, I'm going to be like Francis of Assisi. I'm going to take all my wealth and I'm going to give it to the poor. That's between you and God. That's fine. But to mandate that for all the pastors, that's legalism. And a religious spirit came in, and I want you to know, a spirit of poverty has been in the church ever since. And that needs to be broken off of you. Because we're part of that succession, of that mentality. And so that spirit of poverty is in the church. And we are seeing transformation take place once we've renounced and broken that spirit that came in through mixture. And so the Dark Ages, so what God started to do was start restoring truth, like through Martin Luther, as he got the revelation that you're saved by faith, not by works, but through grace, through faith. And he nailed the 95 theses on the Wittenberg door in 1517. And all of a sudden, the Reformation took place. And things that we take for granted, like the Scripture, is the final authority. Not the Pope, not the Catholic Church, but the Word of God. That we're all priests. Now, he didn't give the full revelation of that, because now we know we're all truly our priests, we're all ministers. What he was saying back then was that you don't need a mediator to come before you and God, that you can go directly to God in prayer, the priesthood of all believers, and salvation by grace. Thank God for that restoration of truth during that move of the Holy Spirit. But even during the Great Awakening with John Wesley, he was taking it one step further. He says, not only can you be saved, but by grace you can receive sanctification. You can be holy as He is holy. And you see another truth being restored. 1906, we had a major move of the Holy Spirit in Los Angeles called the Azusa Street Revival. And by the way, this coming April the 9th is the centennial anniversary of that incredible outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, if you want to come to Los Angeles, we're having this incredible international celebration. People are coming from all over the world for this celebration. And we're having a revival convergence conference of, it's kind of scary to people. Everyone that has moved in revival in the last 10 years, we've invited. So Steve Hill from the Brownsville Revival will be there. And Heidi Baker from the Mozambique African Revival. And John Arnott from Toronto. And Bill Johnson from the Reading Revival. They're all coming, you know, Quality of Freedom from the Latin America, Argentina Revival. And so we're calling this Revival Convergence. It's a conference to celebrate the centennial celebration. And you can check us out on the website, harvestrockchurch.org. But here's the point I'm trying to say is that what was restored at that period was the things that we take for granted, speaking in tongues today. We're praying in the prayer room before the meeting, and everyone's just praying in the Spirit. Thank God for that outpouring. Thank God for the restoration. So we see times of refreshing and restoration. Things that were that the enemy stole that was recovered in 1906. Now, in the last 50 years, we have seen amazing, amazing revival and restoration. In fact, the last 50 years, believe it or not, from a worldwide perspective, it's been the greatest move of the Holy Spirit in the history of the church. And I can share this statistically with you. In other words, more people have come to know Jesus Christ in the last 50 years than all the centuries combined. It's amazing what's been happening. So what's happened in the last 50 years? Well, in 1948, there was a move in North Battleford, Canada, called the Latter Rain Movement. The Holy Spirit fell and revival broke out and it launched all these healing evangelists. You may have heard of them. Some of the names that you may not have heard of are people like A.A. Allen or Jack Cole. Some of the well-known names were like William Branham, Oral Roberts, T.L. Osborne. In fact, there were over 70 healing evangelists that were released, and they were moving extraordinary signs and wonders. Branham, when he would pray for someone, one story goes that he would pray for a man in a wheelchair, and as he's praying, he would get open visions. We talk about specific words of knowledge. He would have an open vision of how this person got in that accident that caused him to be a paraplegic. And he would see this boy walking across the street. He would see the car, the color of the car. He would see the license plate right before him. And he says, I see a yellow car with this license plate in front of this house with this address. And would say, and then, you know, give detailed information because he was just basically reading it like a vision before him. And that would release so much faith in that individual. That person would get instantly healed. He had one of the greatest healing ministries. Now we're talking about, we're going to see even greater things in the days ahead. William Branham was just a prototype, a prophetic foretaste of what's to come. Because now people are starting to get that. People are starting to get incredible revelation in words and specific words. And even with myself, just in our church, I had a word about the Lord gave me a specific name. And I said, man, I don't even know anyone in our church that's a member that has his name. And the Lord said, this woman has diabetes and call her out. And so I said, I'm stepping, Sunday morning. So I stepped out. I said, is there a Barbara Young here? And I said, sure enough, in the last row, a woman stands up and says, I'm Barbara Young. And I said, you have diabetes, don't you? She said, yes. And she came forward. I said, now, for me, who's not a prophet, to move in that level, are you hearing what I'm saying? God is saying, you haven't seen anything yet. I'm taking you from faith to faith, from strength to strength, from glory to glory, because we're in times of restoration. God's going to restore all that was lost. Give Jesus all the praise, all the glory. And we're coming into extraordinary things. And last January, I don't know how to articulate this because I can't say that I went into the third heaven or anything like that. All I know is that my spirit left my body after I was prayed for on the floor, and the spirit went into an auditorium where I was going to be preaching that Wednesday. This was Sunday night, and Wednesday I was traveling to San Francisco to minister. And in my spirit, I saw the auditorium and I saw specific people, and the Lord began to show me specific people with specific problems. I saw this woman who had breast cancer. I saw a man who was sitting in the balcony who had hepatitis C and cirrhosis of the liver. I saw a person in a wheelchair, and I saw all these things. And I just said, is this me? This is crazy. My spirit came back into my body. And sure enough, I said, well, I'm going to test this. Obviously, I'm going to speak in this church in San Francisco that a few days later. So Wednesday, I'm going in there, and I walk in, and I'm stunned. Because I see the woman with the breast cancer, I see the men, I see, first of all, there were only six people up in the balcony because everyone was sitting, it was a Wednesday night service, so the place wasn't, the bottom was full, but the balcony wasn't. And so as I gave a word of knowledge, and I said, there's a man in the balcony with cirrhosis of the liver and hepatitis C. I mean, you know, out of six people, where did it change? You know, I said, God, either I'm really, really, I'm on the edge, man. I'm way out there. But you know what? God is so faithful. Sure enough, the man stood up and came down. The woman with the breast cancer came forward. The man with the wheelchair was right there. Pray for him. Now, none of those things, I don't know if they got healed or not because, you know, you have to go get tested. It's not like a physical pain that was there. And the wheelchair was just something that I just felt I had to intercede for. But the revelation that came, the confirmation, that's the thing that the Holy Spirit wanted to communicate with me, that we're coming into that period. And so we see in the last 50 years, tremendous waves of the Holy Spirit. It's been like clockwork. In 48, the latter rain, and you have people, even among the evangelicals, you had Billy Graham launched his ministry in 1949 in Los Angeles, which catapulted him into international fame. Bill Bright of Campus Crusade started in 1948 at the UCLA campus. You had the healing evangelists begin. And then in 1958, an Anglican priest named Dennis Bennett was baptized in the Holy Spirit at the beginning of what's called the Charismatic Renewal. And it begins to spread around the world. All these, mainline denominational people getting baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. Lutheran, Methodist, Baptist, Catholics. And here's the amazing thing. The Pentecostals criticize and say this cannot be of God because Dennis Bennett drinks wine and smokes cigarettes. He stopped smoking later on, by the way. But anyway, you know, they just said this could not be true revival because, you know, he's an Anglican. But of course, we know historically it was the beginning of a tremendous move of the Holy Spirit, the Charismatic Renewal. 10 years later, 67, 68, in Costa Mesa, Southern California, with a man named Chuck Smith, begins another wave of the Holy Spirit called the Jesus People Movement that swept the globe. I was in Sydney, and I was speaking at Phil Pringle's church, and it's the second largest church in Australia, around 6,000 members. And he said, I got saved during the Jesus Movement. I was a hippie here in Australia. And I came to know the Lord, and you know, we were part of a commune, you know, and the Spirit of God moved and all of us, and that's how our church got started. I said, isn't that amazing? Here in Australia, the Jesus People Movement. And so we see another move of the Holy Spirit in 67, 68, and that's when I came to know the Lord in the latter part of the Jesus People Movement. I had hair down to my waist. I was a hippie. I was a Korean hippie. Can you believe that? I mean, you know. And the Lord got a hold of me and radically shook me and saved me and delivered me from drugs and then all of a sudden called me into the ministry. So we were part of that wave of the Holy Spirit. 10 years later, when that wave around 73 hit its peak, actually hit its peak in 71, when Time magazine came out with a front cover with a picture of Jesus and it had Jesus Revolution on the top of it. Someone gave me a copy of that. Amazing. And then 10 years later, in 83, 84, it's called the third wave. Peter Wagner calls it the third wave, but it was just another wave of the Spirit that he calls the third wave, referring to the Azusa Street as the first wave in 1906 and the Charismatic Renewal as the second wave. And because this is his paradigm, he wasn't part of the Jesus People Movement or the Latter Rain Movement. But all of a sudden, John Wimber comes on the scene. He gets baptized in the Holy Spirit from a Quaker church. He gets baptized in the Spirit, and God begins to use him to bring renewal. He comes to England, Holy Trinity Brompton, gets blasted by the Holy Spirit back in 83, 84, and again, another wave of the Holy Spirit begins. And it's amazing, during that time, Peter Wagner gets baptized in the Holy Spirit. People like James Robeson, who was an anti-charismatic Southern Baptist evangelist, he gets baptized in the Holy Spirit, and so is another wave of the Holy Spirit. Now think about it, every 10 years, 10 years later, 1994, in Toronto, Canada, there's a tremendous outpouring called the Toronto Blessing. And it spreads to Brownsville, it spreads to California, where we had protracted meetings 5 nights a week. It wasn't well known, but we had at least 200,000 people walk through our doors in a 3-year period. Our church was birthed out of that revival. And we didn't understand it all. I mean, you know, the holy laughter, the shaking. But I remember speaking to my prophet, Lou. Lou has been a prophet to me for 25 years. I said, Lou, this is the river of God. This feels so much like the Jesus people movement. I know it. Because once you've tasted it, you're ruined. I said, even though it doesn't make sense, it doesn't look like what we experienced back in the early 70s, we're going to jump in this river, we're going to stay in this river. And sure enough, we jumped in the river, and we have stayed in the river. And God has so blessed us. Launched a network that now is in 30 nations, 9 orphanages. We're feeding 7,000 kids every single day in North Korea. The government has allowed us to do that. I mean, doors have opened up for the glory of God. What do? I mean, we launched the call. Who are we? We're just nameless and faceless people, but God just says, okay, because you're in the river. See, that's the key to success. Here's what David, the Bible says about David in Acts 13. He served the purposes of God in his generation, and then he fell asleep. When the Spirit of God is moving, are you serving his purposes, what he's doing in your generation? I remember the late Arthur Wallace, who wrote God's Chosen Fast and Rain from Heaven, a great, great revivalist, said this. He said, if you want to do what's best for your life, find out what God's doing in your generation and give your life to it. Because every generation, the Spirit of God's moving. And if you want to do what's best for your life, find out what God's doing. You don't want to be a bystander. You don't want to just allow the Spirit of God to pass you by. Here's the thing that's so scary. I'll never forget when I was called by Benny Hinn. It was in 2003, the summer of 2003, August, the busiest season of my life, because we were doing 3 national calls and prayer gatherings in the United States. But I get a call from Benny Hinn in August, and he said, and he had helped us with the call, financially supporting and all that. And, you know, he said, dear friend, wonderful man of God. And he called me up and he said, Che, I want you to come with me to Israel right away. We have an open door to meet with the prime minister, and I want you to bring the call to Israel. And I said, when? He said, within 2 weeks. I said, 2 weeks? I said, I have a full schedule. I mean, I can't. But, you know, when something like that happens, you just shift gears. You know what I'm saying? You cancel things. You say, okay. So I'm there. So I get on a flight, and it's amazing because we were invited by the government of Israel. And so when I got there, this is not an exaggeration. They didn't even take me through security. They took me to a diplomatic room. I didn't even know this room existed. They took my bags. They didn't even search my bags in Tel Aviv. We're talking about the most secure airport in the world, and they didn't even check my bags. They take me to a side room, and there's a stretch limousine, Mercedes-Benz limousine, waiting for me, paid for by the government. They take me into this, and the driver works for the government and says, I'm with the Ministry of Tourism. I am given orders to take you wherever you want to go. And then he started telling me, I drove for Margaret Thatcher when she came. I drove for George Bush when he was here, and I'm here to serve you, whatever you want to do. And I'm saying, am I dreaming? What's going on here? And so I arrived right before the Shabbat, right before the Sabbath. It was Friday during the daytime, and so I knew the sun was going to, and then you couldn't do a thing in that period. So I said, you know what? I want to go to the Western Wall. I want to go to the Wailing Wall, and I want to pray there. I just felt I just needed to dedicate that time for us just to pray. Now, this is August. It's extremely hot. So he says, no problem. We go to the Western Wall. How many of you have been to Israel? How many of you need to go there? I tell you, it's just, it is just marvelous just to walk where Jesus walked and the disciples walked. I mean, just the history and the impartation you receive is just amazing. It's life-changing. So I go to the Western Wall, or the Wailing Wall, and the reason why this wall is so sacred is the wall that's the closest to where the temple was. And the temple area right now, of course, is where the Muslims have their dome there, and so you can't go there. But so you have the Western Wall, and you have all these Hasidic Jews. It's amazing. Orthodox Jews wearing black overcoats in the summertime. You know, it's just like me wearing, you know, my jacket and winter coat in the summertime. And they're there and they're rocking and praying. Like Lou Engle. Have you ever seen Lou Engle pray? Or Lou prays like them. And they're beating their chests and they're praying. You know what they're praying? They're praying the same prayer that they prayed when Jesus walked through the temples 2,000 years ago. And you know what that prayer is? Send a Messiah. Send a Messiah. Send a Messiah. And here's the thing that's so scary. Jesus was walking right by them. The Messiah was walking right by them. And the Bible says she missed the day of visitation. Here was what they had been praying for years. And then Jesus comes in answer to their prayer. They're still praying and they miss the visitation. And do you know what? Right now we can be saying, God, send revival, bring revival. And all of a sudden revival comes and we totally miss it. Because of manifestation, or it looks bizarre, or it doesn't agree with our theology, or whatever it may be, and we miss the purposes of God, and we miss out on God's best for us. And so, God's giving you a prophetic invitation. I'm sending another wave. And in 94, the Holy Spirit came and blasted many of us. Many of you missed out on it. I look back and I said, that is the best thing that ever happened to me, was the outpouring in 94. Because everything I see, as far as fruit goes, of restoration, of seeing things from everything. I mean, I could just go on and on about. And it's all for His glory, for His honor. But it's just fruitfulness. Because God has called us to be fruitful from the very beginning. And to take dominion and transform the earth. I want to close with three things. Number one, I want to close by giving a prophetic word to Chris and Judith, because I really feel there's been a restoration. During the last 50 years, God restored apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Each decade, an office was restored. And the 48 was the healing evangelist, including Billy Graham, who was in the evangelical stream, but the evangelist was restored in a big time way. 58, during the charismatic renewal, the charismatic pastor was restored. You can look at all these major pastors who got hit with the Holy Spirit. In every single denomination, there was a major charismatic pastor who was raised up, like Larry Christensen with the Lutheran denomination. Even in our country, with the Mennonites, there was a charismatic Mennonite movement with Gerald Gerstein. In the 70s, during the Jesus People movement, teachers were raised up. People like Derek Prince from England. They were called the teachers, in fact. Some of the greatest teachers came forth during that time. Jack Hafer, Chuck Smith, he would take the kids through the Bible. And Roger would come forth as a great teacher during that time. And then the 80s, the prophetic came forth because John Wimber introduced the Kansas City Prophets. And so he brought Paul Kane and Mike Bickle here, and John Paul Jackson and James Gall. And it's interesting how Cindy Jacobs came forth in the 80s, and people like Chuck Pierce. Even the book, Prophets and Prophecy, probably the standard book on the prophetic by Bill Hammond, came forth in 1987. In the 90s, what happened with the Toronto outpouring, all of a sudden these apostolic networks started to spring around the world. Now, you've had new churches here in England for a while, but I'm talking about a brand new wineskin and a new wave of apostolic networks from everything from, you know, Rick Joyner's Morningstar churches to, in fact, there's two Morningstar churches, one with Rice Brooks. I think they just changed their name to Ever Nation. But then you had people, I could name networks from Phil Pringle's network of CCC, you know, Christian City Churches, to Harvest International Ministries, an apostolic network. And apostles came forth. What's amazing is that if you called anyone an apostle 20 years ago, I mean, it was so controversial, but now we accept apostles and prophets because of the restoration. Now, maybe some of you still have struggles with that, but we need to, again, embrace what the Spirit of God is doing. And I felt like the Lord say, Chris, Judith, why don't you stand up? And I say this, that there is a that there is an apostolic mantle that has come upon both of you, and that it really is upon your father too, Chris. He's an apostle, but it's a generational thing that has come upon you, and that you're not to shy back from this. Do not allow the fear of man or a religious spirit to deny what God's called you, because it's a gift. Just like whoever has a gift of serving or a gift of giving is a gift, you just recognize it in the same way the Lord has called you. And an apostolic couple is very unusual, because a lot of times there's an apostle and prophet type of relationship. And God's going to give you prophets around you, but God wants to establish you first 1 Corinthians 12:28, first the apostles, second prophets, third teachers. And so, Father, right now, I just want to bless what your Spirit is doing, that as you're raising up this couple, and the Lord says you haven't seen anything yet, that you're going to see this church continue to multiply and grow. It will be one of the largest churches in all of England. It will be a stamp of your apostolic anointing, and it has nothing to do with brilliance, has nothing to do with great preaching, but it has to do with a mantle that's coming upon you right now. And the Lord says, son, I'm going to cause you to move in signs and wonders like never before, because the sign of an apostle is miracles, is signs and wonders. It's the supernatural. You've longed for it, but just even the fact that you got healed of cancer, it was a prelude. The Lord allowed you to be supernaturally healed, so that would be a testimony. Some of the greatest healing events was all thought sickness, whether it was like Oral Roberts with tuberculosis, and then start to move in signs and wonders in the same way that the Lord says, son, I've taken you out of the deathbed, because now you have within your DNA the faith for the supernatural, for miracles, for creative miracles even. And so I'm using you as a team, and you're going to model team ministry. And Judith, the Lord is saying it's just not women in ministry, but it's women in leadership. You're going to model women in leadership to the church that is godly, that is balanced, that is powerful, anointed, and do not allow any kind of past history. And in fact, the Lord is breaking off even generational curse of depression off of you right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. But the Lord is going to give you a revelation of the way He sees you. And so, Father, I bless this apostolic couple in the name of Jesus. And may they come forth into greater, greater authority now, greater influence, greater favor to come. And now the word is for the body of Christ to really exhort you to receive them as apostles in your church, and to really honor them, and to really pray for them. Because here's what the word says: if you receive even a prophet in the name of a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. If you receive an apostle, you receive an apostle's reward. And corporately, the favor will come down upon you. We've seen this happen in our church. It hits the leadership, and it's just like Psalm 133. It's the oil coming upon Aaron's head, down to the edges of his robe, and will filter down to you as you receive it by faith. And I just resist, in Jesus' name, this kind of mentality, this religious spirit of, you know, hey, we can't exalt anyone in England and all this stuff. No, this is the kingdom of God. And in God's kingdom, there is governmental order. The church is founded upon apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus being the cornerstone. Don't give in to the British culture. Give in to the culture of the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. And Jesus, let's give Jesus a hand. Let's give Him praise for that. Amen. You may be seated. I'm sorry, am I going? So I need to wrap it up. Let me wrap it up with. Let me wrap it up right now. here's the word. I said I was going to share three things, but I'm just going to just share the second thing. And the word is repent. The times of refreshing may come to you. The Holy Spirit spoke to me that some of you are fighting really oppression, because the way of a transgressor is hard to allow the door to open for the enemy to have a legal right to attack you. You got to close that door today. You got to repent. You got to get right with the Lord. He'll give you grace. Some of you said, well, I have, man, this bondage, so I can't get... Well, the Bible says the grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness and to live self-controlled, upright lives in Titus 2:4. And He wants to give you that. So right now, I want you to stand with me. We're so hungry for revival. We want another wave. And let me conclude by saying, you know, 94 was the last wave, and now 12 years later, we're due for another wave. Amen? And in fact, I feel it's already happening. It is already happening. And you don't want to miss the day of visitation. You don't want to be a bystander when this wave hits, because we're talking about a tsunami. You can't avoid it. It's going to hit you. Now, you may reject it after it hits you, but I want to encourage you to stay in this way, stay in this river when it hits. Amen? And I want us to bow in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you so much. This church name, the River Church, is so prophetic because you're giving us an invitation to jump in the river once again and to stay in the river. Ezekiel 47 talks about the river of God, and as the angel took Ezekiel, the river rose ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep. But you notice how he stayed in the river. He didn't get out until it was so overwhelming that he couldn't even swim through it. And God is saying the same way, stay in the river. I want to pray right now for those who may not really know Jesus Christ, or those who are in that place of disobedience, who need to repent sometimes and refreshing and come from the Lord. I want you to pray this prayer with me in agreement. Just pray quietly to yourself, but just say, Che, I'm in agreement with you. Just say, Father in heaven, I repent. Forgive me for all my selfishness, for my immorality, for my rebellion, for my sins. Have mercy upon me. I don't want to miss your visitation. I don't want to live under this cloud of oppression. I don't want the enemy to have a legal right into my life. I want to close that door today. I give you my heart, my whole heart. I give you all that I am and all that I have. Be the Lord of my life. And this attitude of prayer, without anyone looking around, if you're saying, I agree with that, and I want to be radical about my repentance right now, I want you to raise your hand all over this place. Just go ahead and raise your hand. Yes. All over this place. Yes. Go ahead, raise. Now, the Lord told me I need to pray for you, so I want you to come out of your seat and come up to the front. We're going to just have a good old-fashioned altar call, make a public. Many of you, I mean, we don't have room here, but just come on up. Run up here quickly. I want to pray for you now. I want to pray that the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Thank you for obeying the Holy Spirit. Just come. Just make your way down here. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And you raise your hand, please. Come out of your seat and come on up here. Because you know why I call people out publicly? Because Jesus said, and he always did this, he always called people out publicly, but he also says, I give grace to the humble. And we need grace, don't we? And so I'm asking you to humble yourself, come out of your seat and receive grace. Even if it's filling up the aisles, the aisleway up there, just come out. All right. I want you to raise your hands to the Lord. Now, Father, with the authority given to me, I want to break every single bondage, addiction, oppression, depression. Some of you are being delivered right now of a sexual addiction, pornographic addiction, right now in Jesus' name. Some of you are bound to alcohol, and you need to be set free from it, because it's really, you're an alcoholic, and you need to be set free right now in the name of Jesus. Some of you have a spirit of depression on you. I command that foul spirit of depression to leave you now in the name of Jesus. Now put your hand to your chest right now. Just say, Holy Spirit, come and fill me. I said, let the power of God come upon you right now.
Amen.
More, let the power of the Holy Spirit come as you have consecrated yourself. And you know what area of controversy you're up here for, so just give him that area, then ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. More, let it come. More of his love, more of his spirit. There's a couple here, and you raised your hand, but you didn't come forward. You've been living in immorality. I'm doing this by word of knowledge. You've been living in sexual immorality. That's breaking God's heart. And the Lord's saying, if you really love, he's speaking to the man, if you really love her, because she loves God, if you really love her, you'll lay down your life and serve, and you'll stop the immorality. Because you've got to take the leadership here. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. And more, Lord. More of your Spirit, let it come. Oh God, we love you. We thank you for your love. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now bless all those who are here. I give them more of your power. Give them your healing. Give them that hunger for you that will drive them to intimacy. And according to God's word, repent, that times of refreshing They come from the Lord. Go ahead and receive the refreshing from the Holy Spirit by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give Jesus a hand, give Him praise and glory. You may return to your seat. Thank you so much for obeying the Holy Spirit by coming up here. God bless you. Amen. Chris, Judith.
Thank you.